Ah, yeah, citizens of the world. This is Thiago from Real Life English, where our mission is to guide you beyond the classroom to live your English in real life, to use your English as the doorway to your greatest life, and of course, speak confident, natural English. I'm joined in the Global Studio today by Xenia once again. Hello, Xenia.
Hi, hello, Thiago. So happy to be here again.
Yeah, likewise. Did you have good holidays?
Yeah, I had so much fun, quality time with my family. What about you?
Yeah, the same, you know, quality time with the family. As you said, I spent about a week at the beach, which was good. I even got a little tan. Now we're back in 2024 for another round, another year. So, Xenia, do you have anything cool to kick off today's episode?
So, Thiago, you don't need water anymore to make ice. That's what I learned last weekend, actually, when I took my daughter to this ice show. And we didn't go to the ice arena or skating rink. We actually went to the theater. When I bought tickets, I was totally perplexed because I was thinking, how are they gonna pour water on the stage and freeze it to make ice? I had to go and see it by myself just to wait these red curtains to open up and to see a mat, an ice mat on the floor. So, you know, plethora of questions in my head. Is it even slippery? Is it cold? Is it like, I don't know, is it made of water or what is it? You know, so the whole performance, I was thinking about this thing and I wouldn't be me if upon coming home, I wouldn't Google it. So, Thiago, did you know that, you know, with this advanced technology, they make synthetic ice, or these are like panels. They go in all shapes and sizes. So, Thiago, if you want to play hockey with your son in your backyard in Brazil, you can go on Amazon and maybe order some synthetic ice panels. That was a discovery for me. I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, that's new to me. Sounds fascinating. By the way, you said that you were perplexed during that show. What does it mean when you are perplexed?
I was confused. Perplexed means confused. Didn't know what to expect.
And well, speaking of which, Xenia, speaking of using synonyms and communicating, you know, the same thing with more advanced words or different words, today we're going to be talking all about paraphrasing. And I'm super excited about today's episode because I think this will benefit our followers a lot. I've been speaking and learning English for over 20 years. Now, with a little more experience, I realize that there are certain things that if you pay attention to, can dramatically improve your level of fluency in the language. I wish somebody had told me these things when I was at the beginning of my English learning journey. So today, we're going to give you one skill that if you master, can dramatically improve your English level in no time. So, Xenia, one of our Fluency Circle members, Maria, sent us a couple of questions about this topic we are covering today, paraphrasing. Could you read her questions first?
Yeah, of course. Our student, Maria from Hungary, sent us this question. Can we improve our language learning system with paraphrasing? And the second question is, what are the pros and cons of using paraphrasing?
First of all, Xenia, I think it's nice for us to quickly define fluency here again, because we are saying that paraphrasing is the number one skill that every fluent English speaker has. Let's talk about what fluency is not, just to make it clear. So one thing I can point out here is that fluency is not about never making mistakes. Okay?
Totally.
So being fluent in a second language or third language doesn't mean that you never make mistakes, that you speak perfectly. So that's one point. Yeah, fluency is about the flow. Guys, we actually did a podcast episode about this topic, really detailing the difference between fluency and proficiency / accuracy. So if you want to check that episode out, we're going to leave the link in the show notes and also in the description here on YouTube. All right? Well, Xenia, let's talk about paraphrasing and how powerful it can be. First of all, what is paraphrasing? How would you define this?
So paraphrasing, to put it in simple words, is saying the same thing as you read or heard from someone with your own voice, how you understand this. Important point here, you should keep the meaning.
Yeah, and I would say that this is the number one skill that bilingual people have or multilingual people have, because Being bilingual or speaking English as a second language fluently, for example, is not about knowing all the words, all the phrasal verbs, all the expressions, but it's about being able to successfully navigate the language mm-hmm. and start conversations and keep conversations going, maintain them. All right. So if you don't know a specific word during a conversation, you don't let that block you or end the conversation right there. You find other ways to explain what you want to explain, even though you don't know that exact word. This is when paraphrasing can be helpful.
Using paraphrasing correctly is exactly that, using synonyms or changing the structure of the sentence. But it's not resorting to some filler words remember those situations when you are searching for a word and you can't name it. Our first reaction would just say, well, this thing. Well, you know, this thing. uh-huh. Right? So paraphrasing is using the synonym instead of the word this thing.
That's true. Yeah. I think that that could be a crutch. You know, there are certain mm-hmm. sentences or phrases in English that they could act as crutches. They are not really ideal for successful communication, like this one. Oh, like this, or stuff like that, or things along those lines. It's fine to use them, but don't overuse them. Ideally, yes, just like Sena said, you want to use a synonym or another word to replace the word that you maybe couldn't think of.
And talking about conversation, paraphrasing helps there too. It helps understanding. You are an English learner and you want to practice your speaking with another English learner, right? You heard a phrase, but you don't know all the words in this phrase. But relying on the context, you think you understood, but you want to double check. So you can paraphrase mm-hmm. it and ask, is that what you mean? Did I understand you?
Well, Xena, let's give some examples now here to our followers. I have compiled, actually, a couple of examples per level, focusing on the more advanced levels of English. So we're going to be giving you guys some examples of B2 level sentences and how you could paraphrase them. And then we're going to move on to C1 level sentences, more advanced. And finally, the last level, which is C2, the proficient level. So starting with the B2 level here, I think it's Joanne, the name. Joanne was mm-hmm. in favor of visiting the museum. Well, one possible way to paraphrase this would be, Joanne thought it would be a good idea to visit the museum or to go to the museum.
Here, we see that we changed was in favor, right, to be a good idea. Right? Also, we changed the word visiting, yeah, in favor of visiting to good idea to visit. So we changed the class of the word and we changed the phrase in favor or to think that it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, people bitch about grammar, like, oh, it's all boring and everything. But guys, again, it's really useful to know some grammar. Look at this. We have in favor of visiting. Of is a preposition. The grammar mm-hmm. rule is mm-hmm. after a preposition, if you have a verb, that verb is in the ing form. But if you look at the second variation here, it would be a good idea to visit because I'm using mm-hmm. to, it's the infinitive. So to visit versus of visiting. Studying a little bit of grammar can also help you better paraphrase ideas and sentences.
So for B2 level, the second example is Arthur has the talent to become a concert pianist. And the paraphrased sentence would be, Arthur is so talented that he could become a concert pianist. Again, we see some changes here.
So we have to have the talent to become something versus being so talented that you could become something. The idea is the same here, but I'm using different words and different conjugation of the verbs.
So the next comes C1 level, right?
My brother now earns far less than he did when he was younger. So focus on this part here. Now he earns far less than he did when he was younger. A possible paraphrasing here could be, my brother doesn't earn nearly as much now as he did when he was younger.
First of all, we have this construction, as much as, right? That we changed it from far less than. Yeah, so there is a comparison. The first sentence, we have a comparison thanks to the word than. And in the second sentence, the comparison is made with as much as. So less means not much, right? And in the second sentence, it was changed into doesn't earn nearly as much.
What's fascinating here is that in the first sentence, right, the verb earn is in the affirmative, right? Mm-hmm. My brother mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. earns. In the second sentence, it's in the negative. My brother doesn't earn. But mm-hmm. because of what comes after, both sentences are communicating the same idea.
So the second sentence here is also very interesting. Let's hear it. I'm disappointed with the band's new album when I compare it to their previous one. I think the band's new album is disappointing in comparison to their previous one. We see the change here. I'm disappointed, right? Or the album mm-hmm. is disappointing. In the first sentence, the main focus is on you who are disappointed. And in the second sentence, the focus is shifted on the album that disappointed you.
We can also point out here the verb compare, right? In the first sentence, mm-hmm. I'm using compare as a verb when I compare it to their previous one. But in the second sentence, I'm using comparison, which is the noun form for compare, in comparison to. And this reminds me of that word formation lesson that we did together. Remember, Ksenia?
Yeah.
Those of you guys, check out that lesson on word formation. This is word formation, by the way, when you are able to come up with different variations of words, like, you know, from a noun to an adjective to a verb, like in this case, compare, comparison, disappointment, disappointing. Well, moving on to C2 level sentences here, I have a couple. They are even slightly more advanced. So look at this one. They think that Helen's brother stole the money. Helen's brother is suspected of having stolen the money.
We see here a change in voices. So the first sentence uses the active voice, brother stole. We see someone did something, yeah, performer of the action. And the second sentence uses the passive voice, brother is suspected of having stolen.
And we say having stolen because it's in the past, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's the same exactly. idea as he stole the money. I think this sentence here illustrates well the difference between a more intermediate type of English and a more advanced type of English. So if you guys ever wondered, what is the difference between B2 and C1 or C2, intermediate and advanced? This is it, guys. Look at the first example here. They think Helen's brother stole the money. This is simple past. It's quite okay, quite standard. It's the typical type of sentence you will use as an intermediate learner of English. But if you look at the second one, he's suspected of having stolen. That illustrates well the difference between more advanced language versus more intermediate language.
Okay, guys, so the final sentence, and it's the second sentence for the C2 level, is the heavy downpour brought their picnic to an abrupt end. And the paraphrased, they had to cut short their picnic because of the heavy downpour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a nice phrase here, cut short, right?
I think we can define downpour very quickly here. What is downpour or heavy downpour?
So when it's raining heavily, like a wall of rain.
You see, so the heavy rain or the downpour brought their picnic to an end, to an abrupt end, versus they had to cut short their picnic, right? So when you cut something short, you end it prematurely.
Exactly, abruptly. That was really, really advanced one as well. I really like the phrase, cut short. And again, we changed the structure, right? We see that the first sentence, it starts with the downpour. The heavy downpour brought their picnic to an abrupt end. And the second sentence, it ends with the downpour. We, like, you know, switched places. We started with they had to cut short their picnic because of the heavy downpour.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You see, so guys, it's fascinating to learn more about paraphrasing. And as you can see, paraphrasing is indeed the number one skill that you should be focusing on and developing as an English learner. So get into the habit of saying the same idea using different words. You will see how much you will improve by doing this. One of the most frustrating things is when you learn new words and expressions, like the ones we are learning today, and when it's time for you to actually use those words in conversations, they don't come to you. You forget them. I know it's a horrible feeling, but there's a powerful system you can use to help you memorize all these words and expressions. This system is called spaced repetition. Spaced repetition is a learning technique that involves reviewing and revisiting information at increasing intervals over time. The basic idea is to expose yourself to the information you're trying to learn in a way that optimally reinforces your memory. As someone who works in English, I can't stress enough how important it is to have an ample vocabulary. And we have made it easy for you to incorporate spaced repetition in your learning with the Real Life English app. With the app, you can learn tons of words, phrasal verbs, and expressions with our advanced technology that helps to review the words you're trying to remember by presenting the new vocabulary to you at strategic times. Thousands of learners just like you are already using the app to get confident, natural English. Wouldn't you also like to effortlessly use the right words and expressions when you need them? Let's check out what one of our app users has to say about the app.
Yes, I would like everyone to come here to get their practice done. And I can say it is one of the most interesting apps I have ever used. I feel so blessed for using this app and for meeting different people from different parts of the world.
So if you want to go from feeling like a lost, insecure English learner to becoming a confident, natural English speaker who actually remembers all the words you study, download the Real Life English app and give it a try. I'm sure you will love it. Go to Google Play Store, Apple App Store, search for Real Life English, or simply click on the link in the description of the video. I'll see you there. Thought, though, thorough, throughout. You know, I used to struggle a lot with pronouncing these words. I felt weird trying to pronounce these words. And I remember that it used to frustrate me all the time because English is full of these hard, nuanced sounds when it comes to pronunciation. If you also feel this way, you know, frustrated with how hard English pronunciation can be, stick around because today we're going to teach you some hacks on how to pronounce some of the most difficult sounds in the English language. So, Xen, I just shared some of the sounds and words that used to give me nightmares when I was learning English. What about you? Did you used to struggle with a specific sound or word when it comes to pronunciation?
Definitely I had, but as far as I remember, they didn't correct me a lot in my English classes. So I think I grasped the basics, but when it comes to nuances, like you said, exactly, that took so much longer time to master. And what I can remember is, for me, it was challenging to feel comfortable or feel confident, maybe, in words with long and short sounds like I, I, and U. So you remember those pair of words, right? Like pill, peel, slip, sleep, or with U, pull. Pool, right? And because we don't have anything like that in Ukrainian, I think I struggled a little bit.
Especially because of what you said about sometimes English having certain sounds that we don't have in our mother tongue. So that can be even trickier. But it's important that we are open to learning different sounds, different ways of using our mouth, our face, our muscles of articulation to be able to produce these words, right? I actually have here, Xenia, a question that one of our followers on Spotify sent us. And this follower, I think his name is Nick. Nick says, I realize I have trouble pronouncing the RD combination as in yesterday or kind of the same sound as birthday. Okay, so this RD combination, right? How would you go about teaching that?
That's a difficult sound, one of the most difficult in English, I suppose. This R, yeah, sound. When you've mastered the R sound, right, like for rain, then it's time to to master the R sound. They're similar in a way, right? When you pronounce the sound R or R, your tongue or the tip of the tongue doesn't touch anything, right? But in the case of R sound, like in birthday or bird, you should raise the middle of your tongue, but the tip of your tongue is somehow, it's backward, right? It's pressed back, but it doesn't touch the bottom of your mouth, right? It's a little bit up. So it's What is, like, talking about the mechanics of the mouth, what is touching is the sides of your tongue. They can't touch either the sides of your teeth, where your teeth start, right? You can just press the sides of your tongue up, right?
Mm.
Only the sides, but the whole tongue doesn't touch anything. And you say, like, it's very similar to the R sound. That was right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you explained the mechanics at the beginning about the tongue being pulled back a little bit, kind of in the middle of the mouth, yeah, for this R. So, some examples. Third, right? Third. See? And you can exaggerate too, right? I mean, exaggeration helps with pronunciation work. So third.
So you have other words like card, yard, birth.
And then standard and reward. Mm-hmm. Like that. I think it's nice also to point out here how differently these words are pronounced in British English, in standard British English, because here I imagine that a typical Brit would not go this is more American English, this it would be more neutral, or not even pronounce the R. So third. It's almost like in British English, you don't pronounce the R here. You just elongate the vowel sound before a little bit, you know? So you just elongate a little bit more. So third, right? Third. Mm-hmm.
And still, your tongue is in the middle, even in the British variant, right? And it doesn't touch anything. You just, like, don't have this R, right, sound.
Mm-hmm. This yeah. You go, cod, my cod, instead of card, right? And yard. All right, Xena, so today we're going to be discussing here some tricky, difficult sounds in English to pronounce and some confusing words when it comes to pronunciation. The first one is the bandage was wound around the wound.
Ooh, almost like a riddle.
Right? So the first word here, wound, is the past of wind. Okay? To wind something is to, rotate it like that, like to revolve it, you know? So the bandage, like when you get hurt, the bandage was wound around the wound. And when you hurt yourself, when you scratch your leg, for example, you have a wound. It's an injury.
And you can see, guys, that it's spelled identically, right? In the same way. Wound and wound have the same spelling here. So here's the trick, is to guess, to differentiate the pattern of the pronunciation of this word combination. So it's tricky with English. Sometimes you see O and U, but it doesn't mean that they always sound the same. So the second sentence, for example, let's see what's happening here. The farm was used to produce produce. It's another example, right? It's not about combination of certain letters, which give different sounds. It's about the stress. So, you know, guys, very often the same spelling, the words can have the same spelling being noun or verb, but the stress is different. In this case, to produce, it's a verb. So we have the stress in the second syllable, to produce. And produce is noun, so the stress falls on the first syllable.
And what does produce mean?
Produce is like those farm products, right? Produced for selling.
I love that. Look at the next one. The dump was so full that it had to refuse more refuse. So The dump here is the trash. Yeah? Is the trash, the garbage, the dump. So the dump was so full that it had to refuse. When you refuse something, that's the verb, to refuse, you say no, right? Mm-hmm. To something. More refuse. Refuse here is like trash. Yeah? Things that you discard, they are called refuse. Similar to produce and produce, right?
Yeah. So the next sentence is, we must polish the Polish furniture. It sounds almost the same. Polish is used, polish is the verb, meaning to use the wipe. To wipe the furniture to make it shine. And the Polish furniture is furniture produced in Poland, the country, right?
All right, take a look at this one. He could lead if he would get the lad out. So the first one is lead, the verb. You lead people. If you are a leader, you lead people. You guide people, right? Now, lead here is a type of metal. And I guess that the sentence is more figurative because, you know, he could lead if he would get the lead out. I imagine that if he could handle difficult things or hard situations, he could lead. I think the lead out here is being used more figuratively. Yeah, you get the lead out like you deal with the heavy metal-like, you know, problems and challenges. You get the lead out so you can lead. But anyway, lead and lead, all right?
So guys, the next one, this soldier decided to desert his dessert in the desert. Tricky one, right? So we all know dessert. It's more common word, right? Something sweet, spelled with two S. Desert, as a noun, is that dry place like Sahara Desert, right? A more rare, I would say, word is to desert, is to leave, to flee. As a soldier, when you run away, you desert a place.
Okay, Xena, and the last one we have today is, since there is no time like the present, he thought it was time to present the present, right? So the first present here is the present moment. There is no time like the present moment. So he thought it was time to present. When you present something, you show it to other people. The present, I imagine here the present like a gift, right? So we have three different meanings here, right? We have to give a presentation, to present something, the present moment, and present as a gift. So guys, I hope you enjoyed learning more about these difficult sounds in English. And if you have a burning question to send us, you can send us an email at hello@reallifeglobal.com. If you are on YouTube, just leave a comment with your question down below here in the video. And then, who knows, we might answer your burning question in a future video. So Xena, we haven't seen each other in a while since the holidays. I wonder, have you been checking any news recently? Have you learned anything about the news recently?
Yeah, actually I did. And, you know, there was a video, a funny one, and something really new for me, that I learned about some minion-looking robots in the street. So if you live in LA, most probably you can see robots, and those are delivery robots on the street. And how I learned about that is actually more funny than the story itself about the robots. You know, I know about you, Thiago, that you are a gamer and you like spending time with your son playing some video games, right? I was wondering, have you ever played any traditional sort of games like board games or charades, something like that?
I have. I have played Monopoly, for example. This is a famous board game and the game of life.
I'm into charades, board games as well. But this Christmas, we played charades, a type of charades, actually. It's called here, Who Am I? But the similar game would be Heads Up, if you know. So you have like the card with some object, and by clues, you have to guess it. This, the difference between this Heads Up famous game and Who Am I, it's, you know, something like that, similar game to it, is that in our variant, you have to ask questions, yes or no questions, and the people you're playing with should answer yes or no. So we were playing this game, and the next day when I was sharing it with my Italian friend, she surprised me that they played the same game, but, you know, they're Italians, they go passionate about everything. So in the middle of the game, they started quarreling. Can you imagine that?
What does that mean, by the way?
To quarrel, to have argument, right? To have a dispute, a heated discussion over something. So they started playing this game. My friend's sister had this card. Actually, I found it, this card, robot. Okay. And she really had struggles to guess what she is, right? This word. So she started playing around, and the question she asked was, can you see it in the street? My friend's tech-savvy husband answered, yes, you can. And suddenly all the family started, like, you know, telling him that, nonsense, you can't see it on the streets, like, you know. And they started this real verbal fight, and he even wanted to prove himself and showed the video about robots in the streets. So yeah, that's what I found funny about this video, and we can link it in the description so you can guys watch it yourself.
All right, Xena, so now I have compiled here a couple of clips from some famous movies and TV series for us to practice paraphrasing. Let's begin with a clip, a short clip from Suits.
Excuse me, do I know you from somewhere?
I don't think so. I have a pretty good memory for faces.
All right, so we have here, excuse me, do I know you from somewhere? How would you ask that question using different words?
I would ask, sorry, do we know each other?
Yeah, you could also say, have we met before? And then, I don't think so. I have a pretty good memory for faces. This line is nice. I have a pretty good memory for faces.
I would say that usually I don't have any trouble recollecting people's faces. Or I memorize faces easily.
Or I have a vivid memory for faces. What you just saw is called paraphrasing. Paraphrasing is basically the ability to say the same thing using different words. If you want to put your paraphrasing skills to the test, stick around because we're going to be playing some clips here and practicing our paraphrasing skills. Let's see how you do.
Elsa and I were really close when we were little, but then one day she just shut me out and I never knew why.
All right, Frozen. Elsa and I were really close when we were little. I think of an expression here, which is very nice. You can say that we were two peas in a pod.
Really nice. Two peas in a pod.
Yeah, you can use that to say that you are very similar to someone, not only in terms of appearance, but also even in terms of taste. So maybe here, they used to be close when they were little. They were like two peas in a pod. Yeah, they like the same plays, the same games, right?
What about shut me out? But then one day she just shut me out.
Yeah, she isolated herself and she stopped sharing things with me.
I also thought about she would never let me in since then.
Ooh, it's a good one. I like that. Open up to someone, right?
Open up.
One day she stopped opening up to me.
So let's watch the next clip.
Did your mother tell you we were roommates back in the day?
And you graduated with your sanity intact?
All right. Did your mother tell you we were roommates back in the day? How would you paraphrase that?
Did your mother tell you we used to share dorm rooms?
Okay. And graduated with your sanity intact. That's a tough one. Sanity intact.
Yeah, yeah. And you graduated without going crazy?
Oh, yeah, without going crazy or going nuts.
But this sounds much more advanced. You graduated with your sanity intact. Much more advanced. But yeah, without going crazy.
Sanity is like mental health.
All right, we got here now Top Gun, Maverick. Let's check it out.
Ooh.
The enemy doesn't know is your limits. I intend to find them, test them, push beyond.
But what the enemy doesn't know is your limits. Another word for enemy could be foe. So, but what your foe doesn't know is your how far you can go.
Yeah, your limits. Or maybe shortcomings.
We could even say limitations as well.
I intend to find them, test them, push beyond. I plan to discover, put them to test, take them to the limits. Or take them to extremes. I don't know, something like that. Push beyond. Okay. Next clip, and with an E.
I'm aware that I'm not much to look at, but even though I'm thin, I'm very strong.
That's a good one, Xena. I'm aware that I'm not much to look at. How would you paraphrase this?
Okay, I acknowledge that my appearance is not very impressive.
Wow, so polished. I love that. Yeah, I acknowledge. Good, I recognize, right? But even though I'm thin, I'm very strong.
And despite being slim, right? Slim is the synonym for thin. I possess strength. I was looking for the word to change very. Like, I possess...
Incredible strength.
Extraordinary strength, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, sometimes all we need to do is just change the class of the word, yeah? Here we have an adjective, strong. We use the noun, strength. I love despite that you used, as opposed to... Even though, yeah? Mm-hmm. So
even though, despite.
Not as opposed, but as an alternative to even though, excuse me. I love that. All right, we got here Puss in Boots. Let's see.
How dare you show your face to me? I know you're angry. You have every right.
It is good to see you.
How dare you show your face to me? I know you're angry. You have every right. But it is good to see you, Puss. So, show your face to show up, yeah? How dare you show up? Or how dare you show up in front of me? I know you're upset, or you might feel anger. Again, changing the class of the word. You might feel anger towards me. And it's justified. You have every right. It's justified.
Awesome. Just coming back very quickly here to how dare you, I could say also, I can't believe you had the nerve to show your face in front of me.
Very nice.
Right? When you have the nerve to do something, you dare to do something, right? Next clip.
Zootopia.
You're going to have to master all of them before you hit the streets. Oh, guess what? You'll be dead.
Well, the movie is about, I think, a bunny, right? A bunny who is a cop. So before you hit the streets, before you go out on the street to start working as an officer, right?
Yeah. You can also say on your first day at work, you guess what? You'll be dead. You're going to have to master all of them. You must, or you have to learn everything about it, right? Or everything about them.
Yeah. You'll be dead. Could be you'll be gone. Or you won't last longer. All right, James Bond, Casino Royale.
He's a gun for hire, thanks to your overdeveloped trigger thing. I have no idea who hired him or why.
So he's a gun for hire, he is a hired assassin, or he's a mercenary.
Professional killer, thanks to your trigger finger. I think it means quick reaction, right? Because of your quick reaction, because you shoot the man, you shoot the guy. Yeah, because you shot the guy. We have no clue, or we are clueless who he was hired by and why.
Yeah, trigger finger is exactly what you said. Like, shoot first, think later. And finally here, Xenia, I have a clip from a lesson that did very well here on the channel that you presented about Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia. Let's watch it.
It's not every day that I get to make a new friend.
Well, I suppose I could come for a little while.
It's not every day that I get to make a new friend. Well, I suppose I could come for a little while.
It's not every day I have the chance or the opportunity to befriend someone.
Meet a new friend instead of make a new friend, you can say, yeah.
I could come for a little while. I could join you for a little while.
I could pay you a short visit.
Nice. There you go. You see, guys, so this is the power of paraphrasing. Every successful English speaker is able to paraphrase things. Remember, the idea of using different words to communicate the same thing. So let me give you a challenge right now. The challenge is I'm going to give you a sentence, and I would like you to post here in the comment section your variations of this sentence. How could you paraphrase this sentence? How could you say it? Communicating the same idea but using different words. Here's the sentence. I was too tired to go to the party. So that's the challenge. I'm looking forward to seeing your paraphrased sentences. All right?
Hey, Thiago. So I wanted to share with you this thing I was digging recently. I have a huge milestone for my holiday season. I just finished my first ever 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. 1,000, Thiago.
Wow, congratulations. That's incredible.
It took many, many days. But I don't know if you are into puzzles, but what a feeling it is when you put this last piece and you see the whole picture. I can't describe it, how satisfied I am after I do that. It is kind of a new tradition in my family. We do, like, every Christmas, we do a new huge puzzle like this. But the 1,000 piece was the first time. Last year, we had 600 piece.
All right. Yeah. I like him, but I think my wife likes them more, to be honest. And I'm curious, what was the final image once you're done with it?
You should guess which place we visited as a company this year.
Oh.
Last year already, 2023.
Was it Machu Picchu?
Machu Picchu. It was Machu Picchu. And it was so challenging. You remember those ruins? Everything just yellowish, brownish, pale. Lots of greenery and blue sky. It was challenging, but we did it. We did it.
Awesome.
You know what? You know what, Thiago? Besides being fun for me personally, it's a fun activity, not boring at all. I found in one of the articles I checked about jigsaw puzzles that it's really beneficial for your health.
I think solving puzzles helps you improve your cognitive abilities or cognitive skills.
Cognitive skills, yeah. You know, it's a real workout for our brain because when we do puzzles, both sides of our brain are engaged, analytical and more creative for you to see the whole picture, right? Detailed and the whole picture. Also, puzzles work like a meditation. You know, I try to start meditating. Somehow it didn't work for me so well. But when I'm doing puzzles, I'm in that meditative state. So I just get rid of all the thoughts and I'm just like focused on this thing, this one thing. And I'm very concentrated. And in that article, they actually said the same thing, that it's another type of meditation.
Well, I can totally see that happening. Yeah.
And when you meditate, you reduce anxiety. It helps you decrease stress, right? And like I already mentioned, a real workout for your brain works well for your memory. And yeah, all those sorts of things. I could also, link that article for people to read it. Very insightful.
Please do. Yeah, we're going to share it in the show notes for those of you interested. And yeah, maybe the tip here is start putting more puzzles together. It's going to be good for your mental health and also your intelligence, right? Your brain. Awesome. Amazing. So I'm happy for you for finishing the 1,000 piece puzzle. All right, Xena, it was such a fun conversation today.
I hope that it will be very helpful for our students because paraphrasing, like we mentioned at the very beginning of the episode, is really, really a must-have skill in any situation.
There you go. Yeah. So I hope you guys out there enjoyed this episode and learned a ton of things and had fun with us. Stick around for next week's episode. There will be a new one coming your way very soon. And the best way for you to support us is by leaving us a 5-star review on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. If you are here on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Keep following the videos here because it helps us a lot. And remember, guys, no matter what divides us, that which unites us is far, far greater. I'm Thiago, joined by Xenia, and I'll see you guys soon. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.